T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This hour, Mustard and Johnson, brought to you by the Northeast Men's Clinic.
The preacher and the teacher. Mustard and Johnson. It's Mustard and Johnson on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Talk all things socks, pats, B's and C's right now with Mustard and Johnson on the WEEI Sports Radio Network at WEEI.com.
It is Mustard and Johnson Sports Radio, WEEI, on this cloudy Saturday morning, back after a week's hiatus. I was in Rome. Larry was hanging out in parts unknown.
The parking lot.
Nice to see. Literally, I think you were. Took a one-day vacation.
I just wanted to make sure I could still find the place.
So, just in case you couldn't return and maybe your GPS was down, so you took a little dress rehearsal last week?
Little dress rehearsal.
Right. Got all the way to the parking lot.
It was good, though. I made it to the parking lot and everything.
And then you were summarily dismissed, I understand.
Absolutely.
Well, it's funny because I thought at the exact moment that the show was going on, I thought you were happily behind these WEEI microphones last week when I was in Rome, the Eternal City. I thought maybe Greg Dickerson was in or some other worthy partner, certainly much worthier than me. And at the moment, I thought you were doing the show. This was Larry Johnson Harmonic Convergence. I was in the Sistine Chapel. Now, ooh, how much more Larry Johnson-esque could be the Sistine Chapel? It's a church.
You should have called me.
It's a church, right?
So we have, okay, could have had a little sports and a little church.
Okay, but the Sistine Chapel, of course, features on the ceiling, painted by a pretty good artist, almost as good as you.
Not bad.
Fellow by the name of Michelangelo.
Yeah, he had trouble with figures.
Exactly. And so I was able, at the moment I thought you were on the air, the Mustard and Johnson show, I was in the perfect Larry Johnson. It was like heaven on earth for Larry Johnson.
You should have FaceTimed me.
Really, should have. Because it was amazing to look at that wonderful artwork, which is all about the creation.
Could you buy booklets and stuff?
I could have. We have a few souvenirs. This is my second time at the Sistine Chapel. I won't mention why I was there the first time, some 33 years ago. But I took the kids and took the wife, and we had a wonderful time and endured the average 95% humidity. Italy, all of Europe, completely oppressed by heat and humidity all
summer
long.
Crazy what's going on with the weather.
There's no such thing as climate change. Come on. No. Absolutely silly. No. So,
well, I wish I could say I missed you, but I can't because I wasn't here.
I was going to say, I wanted to come back and say, you know, as much as I love Dickerson, whoever replaced me, there's nothing like doing a show with you, but you didn't do a show with me.
I didn't do a show with you.
So,
but anyway, things are, fortunately, it seems like forever since the last Patriots game against the Detroit Lions exhibition game. So they finally get a chance to put on some helmets and do some hitting so we can continue to reevaluate this team and the progress that they got to make. And little known to me, you know, everybody else, I think, you woke up in the morning and you found a Christmas present under the tree, and there's no tree or no Christmas yet. But we found out that Josh Scott Gordon was to be reinstated with the Patriots.
Yeah, actually came down around 6:45 yesterday afternoon. I was listening to the radio, and just as it was announced, breaking news about 6:45, my son was getting out of practice. He's playing for the freshman team at Holliston High School, and I announced as he was coming to the car, and he was in a state of jubilation. Now, I'm not sure if that's the proper response, because let's face it, this is a complicated issue. Josh Gordon was certainly a very reliable, the primary target for Brady through the 11 games before he was suspended again for the fourth time. But remember this, Larry. The last time we saw Josh Gordon play, I'm going to look at it from two different angles. One from football and other, obviously, from more the life issues. The last time we saw Josh Gordon on a field, do you remember when it was?
Which game?
Pittsburgh.
Yeah, was it
Pittsburgh? Brady was trying to throw the ball into the end zone four straight times. Remember what happened? Every one of them was incomplete. Josh Gordon was suspended right after that game. How many Patriot games did the Patriots
lose? Did he play eight?
He played 11 games.
11.
How many Patriot games, or how many games, let me try to say this again for the second time. How many games did the Patriots lose after Josh Gordon was suspended?
I don't think any.
None. Yeah. None. They changed their offense. Remember what they did against those woe-be-gone teams in the AFC East. Jets and Bills, last two regular season games, became more run-oriented, more balanced offense.
The biggest threat they had was Kansas City.
Right. Less reliant on Josh Gordon and the receiving core, more reliant on the running game, using the slot receiver and Edelman. And as good as Gordon was, it was a different team those last two regular season games without him, certainly in the playoffs. I'm not saying that Josh Gordon is going to take the Patriots down in any way, but I don't think it's a Christmas present. I don't think it suddenly transforms the Patriots.
Well, when you look at the receiving or
exactly,
receivers
right.
that they have right now, Edelman out with the thumb, Thomas, I mean, any addition helps. I'm not saying he's the reason they're going to go to the Super Bowl or anything even close to that, but I do think it helps.
Right. If you're going down to Patriot camp, which I did this summer, the most obvious, the gaping hole in this Patriot team gunning for a seventh Super Bowl, unprecedented, that would break the all-time record. Of course, Pittsburgh's got six, is the wide receiving core. So certainly Josh Gordon is going to help that immensely. But this now I go to the other side of it, the life problem. How is the NFL or the Patriots convinced that a guy that's been suspended four times, including for 2 years in a row in 2015, 2016, I believe were the years, guys had all kinds of issues off the field. And we believe in redemption, of course. We want him to get better. But do you really believe that somehow or another, this is the time that Josh Gordon will exercise all of those demons?
See, I don't know. I think Brady has gone out of his way to be a good, not just a teammate, but a really good friend. And I think he's tried to reach out to him. But that didn't work. I don't know. I've never done drugs. I didn't even like marijuana, for that matter. And I don't even like beer. So, I mean, I don't know.
Them's are fighting words, that last one.
I know
one.
That. I look like I like beer, but I don't. I don't know.
You're more of a wine cooler guy, aren't you?
I am.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Umbrella
little,
drinks,
little
wine cooler.
Ginger ale in there with it.
Bartle and James.
They don't make that anymore.
I know. You must be in a state
I love
of.
I love Bartle and James.
I know you did.
So
I'll just leave it at that. I won't even say anything.
Nah, but
I'll let it just
I
sit
don't
there.
Really, I don't really
No, we
like
shouldn't
it.
Even make light of it.
I have problems. I have food problems. That's my problem.
Listen, all of us on. To some degree, deal with vices, addictions, demons.
Do you have any serious ones?
I have none, except I like movies like Casablanca,
yeah.
Citizen Kane,
I know, yeah, I
Rear Window.
I wasn't going to say anything. You
okay.
worry about me getting it out too quick?
Right. And I knew that you were going there.
No, I wasn't.
It doesn't
no,
take
I'm,
you
I'm
long.
I'm trying to be a refined friend this week. I want to give you a chance to get back
as you were
the
sitting
groove.
By yourself alone in the parking lot at WEEI last weekend,
you know,
in search
about,
of a
that's
show
about the size of
you
it.
You gained newfound perspective.
That's about the size of it.
Yeah.
And Eamon came out and we talked for a minute. He says, you know you don't have a show this week.
This is the producer at WEEI?
Yeah. Yeah. I said, no. But that's fine. It's right. Nice that you're ready to give me a day off.
So unlike Josh Gordon, you were not suspended from WEEI. For any particular reason.
Not that I know of.
Not that you know of. Okay.
But anyway.
It is difficult for us to understand the severity. Now, we know. Listen, we can talk about Josh Gordon. We've done it in the past. And you know what happens? There are listeners out there who have had addictive issues that are maybe very similar to Josh Gordon. There are alcoholics. There are drug users. There
the
are other
that's
issues.
The thing hard for me, and not being judgmental, just the reality of it, somebody said, like, I'll pay you $1 million to stay straight this season and not imbibe in any of that stuff that's on the list that you're not supposed to have, and we'll give you $1 million. I would like to think that I could do that.
But you know that's not the case, because Josh Gordon has
a lot. Well, in this case, see, it would be easy, because I don't like any of that stuff.
But see, for Josh Gordon, $1 million, that's chump change. You're basically telling Josh Gordon, here's five, here's six, $7 million. I'm giving you all of this money to not indulge in your vices. And obviously that has not been enough. This is not a question about money.
He said this guy was drinking and popping pills and everything before the game.
Right. And you have to wonder, he gets involved in the season again, and playing in the NFL has taken both a physical and, more importantly, psychological toll on this particular player. Highly gifted, remarkable athlete. When he's right, he may be past his prime physically.
I don't think so.
Don't get me wrong.
Not afraid to go over the middle.
No. But, I mean, when he first came on, I remember that first game he played, the first time I remembered him, was back in 2012, played the Patriots in Foxborough, and they could not stop him. They had no answers for him. That was 7-8 years ago, and a lot of issues have happened since then. They were probably going on at that time. He has since confessed that he's been addicted since he was a child, 7 or 8 years old, he was using drugs. And we understand these are long odds. I expected last year, I think all of us did, that when he came to the Patriots, because he was here, because it was Belichick, Brady, Kraft, an organization that would help him, the structure of this organization would be extremely beneficial. And it appeared as if that were the case. But for whatever reason, once Josh Gordon gets in the middle of a football season, it's very difficult for him to stay away from his demons, whatever they are.
Yeah, it's very hard. It's funny because I had a service guy come by my house the other day for some plumbing work, and we got to talking, and I said, "Do you go to church?" He said, "I used to be a Christian. I don't bother with any of that stuff." To make a long story short, he said his father was in the ministry. I said, "Oh, good." But he said, "Well, not really." He said, he put me in the hospital a couple of times with beatings and stuff. And it's hard to relate to certain things if you've never, fortunately, had to experience them. So my heart went out to him, obviously, but was quite sympathetic. I do think this time around, though, with Josh, I think this has got to be, the rodeo's got to stop somewhere.
Well, we thought that last year, that maybe this was going to be the last outpost. This was his last chance.
But I'm saying, I don't know how many more chances you can give him if he doesn't pass the mustard this time around.
There has to be a deal in place right now between him and the NFL for him not to get a suspension and for them to look at this as a cause of helping a problem. There has to be some sort of deal that's under the covers.
You know what's amazing with that, though, is the fact that the man who obviously had total jurisdiction over him is allowing him to come back into the league, Roger Goodell.
Well, you know, Roger Goodell has not been a popular figure, to say the least, in New England. We all know why. This is certainly a situation where he could have prevented Gordon from being reinstated. Patriots did re-sign him with the hope that Goodell would rule in their favor. He has. But as we well know, it's totally up to Josh Gordon.
Did he get paid while he was suspended?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about that. But it's not about the money. We understand that. This guy has to reclaim his life. It seems as though when he's not playing football, he's better able to deal with his life than when he is playing football. And you think it would be just the opposite. You know, we tell kids all the time, when I was teaching, and I tell my own sons this, be involved in sports or other curricular activities. Have a structure to your life, because the more structure you have in your life, the more effective you will be in a variety of different places, including academics. You'd think with the structure of going to work every day, especially playing for a top-notch, successful organization. You think that does the right things both on and off the field. This would be the perfect landing spot for Josh Gordon. But it was not. It was just like every other place. It was just like Cleveland. There was only one other place, Cleveland. I mean, there's no difference in Josh Gordon's
world.
What do
you do when you take the cleats off, though? You know? I mean, what do you do if you're not married? Is he married?
I don't know, again.
Yeah.
I mean, I would think that would be very difficult. I would guess.
Oh, it would be, yeah.
I'm probably 99% sure he's not married. With this kind of track record, dealing with drugs and all the other issues, this is not just simply drugs. There's a reason. Sometimes drugs are just the symptom. There's a reason why he relies on self-medicating. I think it's difficult for him to go out and play every day. I think it's difficult for him to perform at that level, whatever it is, whether it's trying to survive the physical attrition of an NFL season or just dealing with the psychological component. There's so many. It's so.
Do you find we become judgmental or just impatient with people who have this malady to deal with and they just can't? Daryl Strawberry is for one who comes to mind. Just very, very gifted.
Doc Gooden, his former teammate, yeah. Recently picked up for driving under the influence again. He has struggled.
Recently?
Yeah, he's struggled for, what, over three decades at the peak of his career. Gooden went from a surefire Hall of Famer, Cy Young Award winner. By the time they won the World Series in 86, he didn't even attend the parade after beating the Red Sox because he was high on drugs, and he's been dealing with that ever since. Had some second chances, pitched well for the Yankees about a decade later, but had struggled with that. Strawberry, as we well know. See, here it's a little bit different because Patriot fans have an agenda. The agenda is, let's face it, we can sit here and...
We want to win.
We want to win. And the priority, we can pretend that we're interested in the health, physical and psychological, of Josh Gordon, but we're utilitarian. Larry, you didn't wake up this morning thinking you got a Christmas present because, oh, finally, I've been worried about Josh Gordon. I hope he gets his life together. You might be on a certain level because that's the kind of person you are. But your Christmas present was, oh, good.
I want to win.
He can solidify a wide receiving core right now that
it's
is not looking
lean.
Not looking very good.
No. I agree.
Right.
With you, totally.
Right. And that's what...
And, of course, that's the...
Right.
That's the ugly side of sports.
That's the reality,
that
That's the reality.
We let certain things pass that we normally wouldn't because the end result is I want to win.
Right.
And I want good players on my team.
So it's very difficult for us to sit here. We wouldn't be talking about Josh Gordon if he were still in Cleveland or had been picked up by another team. He is the property of the Patriots, and he's a very highly cherished commodity, and he can help the Patriots win. But I go back again. Patriots made an adjustment that turned out very well for them after Josh Gordon left the team. He wasn't a drag on the team, but I think Brady was far too interested in throwing the ball downfield, and you saw that in those four pass plays in the end zone that resulted in a loss, their last loss of the year against the Steelers. Remember, after they lost that game, that was on the heels of the Miami Miracle the week before, and I remember the headline on the front page of the Globe, well, it's just not the Patriots' year. The Patriots are no longer able to be the Patriots we've seen for the previous 15, 16 years. And what they did is they completely refigured their offensive strategy, became more balanced, was not relying on the vertical game. And we know what happened after that. Five straight wins and another Super Bowl.
You're going to have to make some more room on the practice squad, I think, because...
Right.
If he, you know, obviously he makes the team, he's back on the team. They can't, I like this kid Berrios a lot. Good, cocky punt returner. Really good. I like him a lot.
I did not see any of the game. Yeah. I was in Rome. You know, it's funny, they don't carry the Patriots on Rome television, so I didn't get to see that Detroit Patriot game. I was going up and down the dial. I couldn't find it anywhere.
No, they carry the Cowboys. Every
time they said, oh, here's a football game, and they were playing with a round ball. I couldn't understand it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Any tackles?
A lot of sliding. That's their version of tackles.
Yeah.
Yellow cards would be thrown
Harry
left and right.
Harry looks good from what we've seen of him.
Oh, he's a beast.
But he's, you know, he's
been dinged up a little too.
Dinged up a lot. Yeah, so right. Hopefully they get that straightened out. The surprising part so far, from what we've been able to see, because you can't really see that much of the practice, and they don't show you that much, is the two quarterbacks, the two backup quarterbacks. Hoyer's had a heck of a game. I understand that, but that's all you can go by. Listen, during the exhibition games last couple of years, you'd pray for a completion from him. So for him to throw the ball down the field the way he did was quite impressive. I thought it was somebody else.
Larry Johnson, wake up. It's Brian Hoyer.
How about me some Brian Hoyer?
I know that.
Do you really believe?
I'm just telling you.
If, God forbid, Brady finally shows his age and is forced out of a game or maybe out of the season, that Brian Hoyer can pull a Nick Foles or a Matt Castle?
If you played the way he played the other way, are you going to watch the game? Will your wife let you watch the game tonight?
We were going to be in Maine, probably not near a television. I'm going to let you be the
Danny
official.
Danny, help me. Gosh.
I'm going to let you be the official preseason Patriot correspondent.
Can you record the game? You
on the Mustard and Johnson show.
It's tough to record an exhibition game.
Do you really want me to record a preseason game?
Even I will admit. Although it seems so long since we've seen a game, I probably would. I just want to see the first half.
Actually, you know, it's so funny because my son is such a football nut, my 14-year-old, and so we watched, believe it or not, it was on the NFL Network last night. We watched the Giants and the Bears.
Yeah.
On the NFL Network.
Bears didn't look too good, huh?
Well, no, they didn't play any of their starters on either side of the ball. That's how much the Chicago Bears think of the preseason. And one of these days, they're going to get smart and cut it down to one or two. Here's my dilemma. My son, I keep on talking about my son, got for his birthday a couple weeks ago, got tickets to a Patriot game. And we were able to wrangle these tickets from a friend of my wife's at work. And he gave, along with the tickets to the game, the Bills game, not the best game, you know, but it's still an NFL game, a couple of preseason tickets. So we're now stuck, Larry. You can have the tickets if you want. I have tickets for the Panthers next Thursday night. And even better, the annual eighth
caller, 617.
Right. And even better, the annual, we don't even know who those guys are on the field.
What, the fourth
game? The fourth game. It's always against the Giants. So I get stuck with these tickets. Do I really want to go?
That's like highway robbery, though, how they charge people regular game ticket prices, and it's an exhibition game.
No, and here's the problem. If you want, and as we well know, I'm sure it's pretty much remained intact, the Patriot waiting list is, what, 7 years long or something, whatever, however they measure
it. Thank you, Bill Parcells.
Right. So you can't buy a season ticket or renew them without, of course, purchasing the preseason. And as you well know also, Larry, the players don't get paid in the preseason. They don't get paid for any of those games. They get paid for the regular season. So it's pure profit for the NFL. Like, they need to make more money. And the games mean nothing.
And every year they get an unbelievable check from television. Right.
So we're watching the game last night, and Eli marches down the field on his first...
What, 4 for 4 or something like
4
that?
4 for 4 yeah. Touchdown. It's against the Chicago Bears' second team. Now, the Bears are a playoff-caliber team. And Khalil Mack, you know, even in a preseason, I always want to see Khalil Mack play. Was he playing? He was sitting on the sidelines.
Eating a hot dog,
yeah,
probably.
Having a good time, laughing and cackling. No, not one player on either side of the ball for Chicago.
The only people who weren't laughing and cackling were the people in the stands.
Yeah, and, you know, and so Giant fans sitting there in the Meadowlands, does this mean anything? You know, Daniel Jones, their first-round draft pick, number 6 overall, looked good.
He looked good.
He looked very good.
Against second and third string players.
But I understand what you say. People want to see football. If I were near a television and not up in Maine, and
I thought I wanted to see it more
than what happened on the field. Was it 30-3 or something like that?
Yeah, but no. But yeah. I've they've had a series of games on, and I find myself not watching as much. If I have nothing to do, I'll sit and watch them. But it's ridiculous.
Well, here's the issue: when your team is the most successful team in the history of the sport, and your quarterback's the greatest player, not just quarterback, the greatest player in the history of the sport, when you've been spoiled by unbelievable, hard to believe
duck boats
success, and you've had all these parades, not just in football, but you know, other parades. We thought we were going to get one in June, didn't happen. You don't care about the regular season anymore. I mean, not even the regular season. Forget the regular season. It's the preseason.
We're used to winning around here, let's face it. And turning to the Red Sox for a minute, there has been very little about them to get that excited about either. The pitching, starting pitching rotation has not been certainly what it was last year. The hitting has been good, but the bullpen and the starting rotation has fared very poorly. And now we're hoping, Sale came up with another nice game the other night. We're hoping these starters can rebound and show us something.
Well,
we got about 30-something games left to the regular
38
season.
38 games left. They won last night. Tampa lost. So that pulls them within 6.5 games of the second wild card. Here's the problem. You have the Twins leading the division, the AL Central.
And they have about four against them.
They have a couple game lead on the Indians, who lost last night. So it's the Indians, the Rays, the A's, and the Red Sox. And the Red Sox right now are 7 games back in the loss column against both the A's and the Rays. Indians would have the number one wild card spot at this point, but probably one of those two teams, Twins and Indians, will win the division. The other will go as the first wild card. Can the Red Sox, with 38 games to go, find a way to climb out of that hole and overtake one of those two teams, A's and Rays? They got to overtake one of those two teams. Even if they get by the Rays, doesn't mean they're going to get by the A's.
And I think they have to get the fans interested again.
Well, when you go there, it's funny because
when you go there, any number of things you go there
if
for.
If you close your eyes and don't pay attention to they're playing the Orioles or some other low-life team in the American
League. The ambience of the ballpark.
It's always like World Series time.
Yeah.
I mean, you would not know going to the park that they're, I think I looked it up yesterday, they have a 5.5% chance of making the playoffs. Pretty low.
Yeah.
Okay. When you go to the ballpark, it looks like it's Game 7 of the World Series.
Yeah. I love the park. I mean, I like a new park, but I the atmosphere there is unbelievable.
Yeah. So the big question is, I guess, a couple questions. Can Josh Gordon actually stay on the field for an entire season? And I guess, you know, as much as we do care to a certain extent that he gets his life and his act together, what we really care about is, what, let's be honest, brutally honest, what can he do for the New England Patriots?
Can he stay on the field?
Right. And the other question is, Porcello pitching a quality start last night, 6-plus against, you know, one of the worst teams in baseball, the O's. Is this a sign the Patriots, the Red Sox, have some sort of shot after a very, very difficult first couple weeks in August?
I think the manager has to admit that he screwed it up in the beginning of the season. He was way too soft on the pitching. Didn't really let them get into the system that had worked for them so nicely the year before. And it has come back to bite them. And they're trying to pull it together. But every day, you never know who's going to show up. Price is out injured again. They've had a lot of injuries. They've had they're not what they were last year.
Well, that's for certain.
We know that.
They won 108 games last year.
But yet they got almost the same roster.
Right. And, you know, we certainly have talked about that many times, whether or not they have any run in them at all, and they can overtake either the A's, the Rays, the Indians, whoever. It's going to be, it'll have to be a combination of the Red Sox start to play much better, and one of those teams, at least one, maybe both teams. Both teams have to collapse.
You think they can, but you look at the roster, and it's almost the same roster, or similar. And, you know, there's no reason why they can't snap out of it except, you know, to perform.
Right. You see signs of it. Remember that stretch a couple weeks ago, 14 straight games against the Rays and Yankees. They started out 5-1. Then what happened? Imploded.
Everybody said, we'll use the next 14 games as a measuring stick to see how far this team is.
And now they're still kind of hanging around, 7 games back in the loss column to both the A's and the Rays. They have a West Coast trip. Who knows? Anyway, those are on the table. Josh Gordon, Red Sox, anything else on your mind? Mustard and Johnson are back. Larry from the parking lot, Mustard from the Eternal City, Rome. We're here till 11 o'clock on Sports Radio WEEI.
the only station in Boston where you'll hear exclusive interviews with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Red Sox beat the Orioles 9-1 last night. Rick Porcello, a quality start. Game two of the three-game weekend series will be tonight at 7:10. Joe and Dale Arnold on the call. Pre-game starts at 6:10 with Will Fleming on the Shaws and Star Market. WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Patriots play their second preseason game tonight, 7:30, when they take on the Titans in Nashville. Tom Brady expected to play. And, of course, yesterday the Patriot offense got some very good news. Josh Gordon reinstated by the NFL. He'll return to the team Sunday, but very unlikely to be able to play in the next preseason game. Should be ready for first game of the year against the Steelers Sunday night on NBC on September 8th. And that's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Freedom, freedom, freedom. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child.
Mustard and Johnson, Sports Radio WEEI. You know where that comes from, Larry, don't you? Richie Havens. Little place called Bethel, New York, 50 years ago. Also known as Woodstock. He was the opening act, very first act on Friday afternoon, August 15th, 1969. They're celebrating the 50th anniversary of a...
Are they going to have a massive concert?
They are, as a matter of fact. It? And Santana's going to be there. I'll be checking out Carlos over at the Xfinity Center, once known as Great Woods, coming up on Tuesday.
What was the biggest draw with that anyway?
Jimi Hendrix.
Marijuana?
Of course. And there was acid. Remember, stay away from the brown acid. But 400,000 people converged upon this farm owned by Max Yasgur 50 years ago today. They were in day number two of that cultural, musical, historical phenomenon.
Is Max still coming down for breakfast?
Max no longer is. No. That was 50 years ago.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. We might have started young.
Yeah. Many of the...
Pro Football Talk also mentions that Jay-Z not only is having a little partnership with the NFL, but eventually is looking into being an owner.
I think that's inevitable.
We bad. Get him and Kraft together.
Well, there has been some discussion about this, and you've heard it, and certainly articles about Jay-Z selling out. Been highly critical of the NFL, certainly for the Colin Kaepernick fiasco, which I think it is a fiasco. And now suddenly he's in bed with the very league.
I wish you'd come up with a different term.
Okay. He's in cahoots. Yeah. He has signed an agreement.
There's no sense okay. about that.
All right.
He signed a deal with the devil.
He did. Here is a guy highly critical of the NFL for leaving Colin Kaepernick twisting in the wind.
He's had job offers. He didn't want him.
Okay. But he certainly you'd think that he had no Kaepernick had no bigger ally. And no more important ally than Jay-Z. Now, you and I don't understand why Jay-Z, I don't understand the popularity. It's not my musical genre. I'm into Santana and Richie Havens. It's not my generation, not my genre.
What about his wife?
And I don't particularly, I recognize that she's a good singer, but not, doesn't interest me musically.
Would you kick her out of an elevator?
See, again, you always have to go in that direction.
I kick her out of an elevator?
I think after all the NFL problems with Ray Rice, I wouldn't be bringing kicking out of an elevator. That's maybe not the best expression. So, now, I don't understand
well,
what
London
you...
didn't do a thing. Italy didn't do a thing for you.
Not at all. So, I would say that I happen to be much more on the Colin Kaepernick side of things than you would be.
I'm not.
You're more supportive of management. I'm more of a labor guy. And Jay-Z, I thought, was a labor guy, too. And if I'm Colin Kaepernick right now, I'm kind of wondering what happened to my biggest ally and supporter.
Let me tell you something. Anybody who's got a brain will tell you that if you really want to make a change, the first thing you have to do is get inside the room.
Right.
And I think by this means of you know, partnershipping himself up at the NFL to a certain degree, at least he's in the room now. And eventually, you know, who knows if you can further change or whatever, but at least he's in the room.
So you think it's more important to do this from within than from without?
I don't understand this thing about people just standing up or taking a knee or whatever for social change. Well, like what?
Well, you could say that Kaepernick on some level has been successful because you'd like to believe that someone like Jay-Z, whose commitment to social justice issues, and he has a tremendous desire to empower African Americans, which last time I checked, about 75% of the league.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's worth about $1 billion.
Right. I mean, I want, if I'm an African American athlete playing in the National Football League, on one hand, I want Jay-Z to be sitting at that table with Bob Kraft and Jerry Jones and Roger Goodell and everybody else. Yet at the same time, remember, Kaepernick had the support of most every black player in the National Football League. I'm wondering, did he sell out his friend, Colin Kaepernick?
I don't think so.
See, I think he did.
Well, I don't. I think that, again, you want to make change, or you want to just stand there holding hands with him for the next 10 years.
So is Kaepernick being sacrificed or not? Because bottom line here, Larry, is...
Bottom line.
The bottom line. You know, me and Stephen are like this. You know, they always confuse us. I go out down the street and they say, hey, Stephen, hey! So the bottom line is, Colin Kaepernick, while Jay-Z may be now in the room, where's Colin Kaepernick? He's still outside in the parking lot with you.
He could have made some overtures here and there. I don't know what he might have offered. But again, if I'm an African-American player, I want somebody to get in the door. And eventually, that's the only way you get a chance to make any changes.
Right. What are the things? You're an African-American. You're not an African-American player, but you certainly are an African-American.
Right.
And what were some of the things... from a black perspective, you think the NFL needs to address?
Well, I want more coaching, more coaches,
right,
to get, you know, get a job.
Sure.
And be more, I don't, you know, how sensitive you need to be with the halftime entertainment and stuff. I do agree that there's a certain point where everybody needs to get a slice of pie, and that it can't just, now forgive me for saying it this way, but there's no other way of saying it. It can't just be white people getting up there and they, you know, do the entertainment for the night and everything. I guess last year's Super Bowl entertainment was terrible, I guess. You know, I didn't really pay that much
attention
to it.
Maroon 5 didn't exactly send shivers down a lot of people's spine. Let's put it that way.
I'd like to see Fenway Park. I got to talk to my buddy Sam Kennedy and see if they can get a couple of qualitative acts to come. You know how every year they have get Stevie Wonder in there. So.
But, you know, you think about it, going to Fenway Park and going to Gillette Stadium is a very similar phenomenon if you're a black fan. You look around, not too many other like us around.
Yeah, just us.
Just,
yeah.
You know, I mean, remember that years and years ago, they actually counted... This was in the early 90s, and I don't think it's changed very much. This was a sold-out game against...
What is your job description, sir? Oh, yeah, on your resume. I'm a counter.
Yeah, what they did is a Globe reporter, Steve Fainaro. Remember that name, Steve Fainaro?
Yeah.
You might have even worked with him.
He had a brother, too. Yeah.
Yep, might have worked with him. And they actually went out, and I don't think he did it by himself. It was a sold-out game against Tony La Russa's A's in the early 90s. Canseco and McGuire were still with the A's. And they counted this. It was a sold-out Fenway Park, 35,000 plus. 500 of those spectators were black.
Mm.
Go to Gillette Stadium, I bet it's even lower than that. So that's an issue right there. How about access? How about having the African-American community have access to these season tickets?
And as you stated, the season ticket line goes through up and down the Route 1. I mean, there's just so many people waiting in line to get the season tickets. Individual tickets or making deals with friends or whatever to get tickets. I'm sure, you know, I know that's happened with me and a few other people. You get an opportunity to go if you want to.
Yeah, I would think.
And I know people to go.
Right, a better commitment to the African-American community on a purely fan level. Let's see, you know, football is, as we said, 3 out of the 4 players are black in the NFL. There's nowhere near 3 out of the 4 spectators are black in any game, preseason, regular season, postseason, or otherwise.
Now, are you impressed with, we talk about the NFL and, you know, they got all these issues and social change and stuff, but are you impressed with Roger Goodell reinstating Josh Gordon?
Impressed, what does
so
that
soon?
Mean?
Well, giving him a chance.
I don't know the answer to that question.
Thank you.
It I think if you're a Patriot fan, you're impressed. You're thrilled. I don't think impressed is the right word. You're delighted.
Well, I think I say impressed because to this point, for the most part, you would say Roger Goodell's reputation is he kind of stuck it to the Patriots.
Right. Well, they're looking to redeem himself, atone for his previous sins. And it certainly worked out for the Patriots the last time Roger Goodell ruled against them when he suspended Brady for four games. How'd that work out for the league? Patriots won a Super Bowl. So I don't know. As I said before, it seems that Josh Gordon is able to deal with life and his demons much better when he's not playing football than when he is. And we shall see if returning for yet another time after a fourth suspension, he's getting a fifth chance. Will he finally find a way to stay on the field and get his life together?
I'm just surprised that people are putting a lot of pressure on the NFL to do something, social change, make a difference. But is that the only entity out there that's being pressured to do something? What about, heck, Disneyland? You see the kind of money that those people have, the profits that they make off their parks and stuff? How come nobody's putting any pressure on them to
do because, anything? Well, because, again, the labor and the product in the National Football League is comprised of 75% Black athletes.
That's true, and you can say that about the NBA. The only one you can't say that about is baseball.
617.
Or hockey.
779.
Although hockey's gaining.
Yeah, I go back to that great commercial. Bo knows. Remember that commercial? Yeah. Bo knows this sport, this sport, and this sport, and then they have him, Bo knows hockey, and Gretzky skates by. Uh-uh. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Mustard and Johnson, we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Your phone call is just around the bend. Sports Radio WEEI. Love that man, one of the great guitarists of all time, playing Woodstock today. Great Woods, also known as Infinity Center on Tuesday night. I will be there. Carlos Santana, 50th anniversary of Woodstock. Sports Radio WEEI, we're commemorating that. Just a bunch of old codgers.
So are they going to have it in one set place?
Not at the same place they did it.
Did before.
It's already underway, and it's at another spot somewhere near Bethel, White Lake, New York. It was never in Woodstock to begin with.
Will it be lighting up?
I'm sure they'll be lighting up. In New York, I assume, much like Massachusetts and many states, it's perfectly legal these days. The problem back 50 years ago was the brown acid, man. Stay away from the brown acid. And I doubt there'll be as many trippers, so to speak, as there were 50 years ago. So we're celebrating that, talking about the Patriots. Kind of an odd juxtaposition, but that's what we do here on Sports Radio WEEI. And I'm sure he was there with his tie-dyed shirt and his headband right in the front row playing along with Jimi Hendrix. Andy from Framingham, you're next on Sports Radio WEEI. Hey, man, what's happening, man?
Intro.
Did you play?
I was in a bunker at Fubai trying to survive back in August of 69, I can tell you that.
I can imagine you as a Marine, Andy. I'm sure you're really digging that scene in upstate New York.
Yeah, very much so. I've just seen Full Metal Jacket. That might give you an idea. But hey, listen, guys.
Stanley Kubrick, right?
Stanley Kubrick, yeah.
Yes, exactly. Phenomenal movie.
Could you play the guitar with your teeth?
Not really. I could do a harmonica, though.
Really?
Some might say so. Hey, listen, before we get into Josh Gordon, I want to give a tip and a hat to Michael Andrew Yastrzemski, Andover's own.
Yeah,
Last night, he duplicated his grandfather's feat by hitting three home runs in a game.
Yeah. That's where is he playing?
I think he plays for the Giants. They played Arizona. And I believe he plays left field.
Wow. Yeah.
It's a great take when he's going to come here on the 19th of September, probably playing left field at Fenway.
Yeah, and his father died several years ago.
He did. That's tragic.
Carl had a tremendous relationship, very close relationship with this kid. And
he struggled in the Baltimore system for about seven years, had some injuries. Looks like he can play. I mean, there's something going on with the ball, guys, because, I mean, you and I can hit home runs, I think.
Right. Well, that exit velocity and launch angle has wreaked havoc on pitchers all across Major League Baseball. My question is, Andy, since I don't want to leave Yaz because he's my favorite player of all time.
It was my boyhood idol. Yeah,
and it's funny because I followed Yaz, you know, as closely as any fan would have back in those days. I'm trying to remember the game where he did hit three home runs.
I don't know who it was against specifically. Yeah. I don't. If we say Baltimore, it might be a good guess.
Well, no, they were good in those days. Remember, Baltimore was the class of the league. Didn't they have the
five?
No, when Yaz was hitting home runs, Orioles were the best team in baseball.
They were a good team. They had pitching. Far cry from today.
McNally.
Hey, on Josh Gordon, I got mixed emotions, Larry and Craig here. Is it, long-term-wise, you wonder if this kid, all for giving this guy a chance, when it comes to a point, you're going 8 to 10 games in a season, let's say he's having a phenomenal year, there's always a triggered response, something happens as you're getting ready for the playoffs, and he's suspended again.
Right.
That's tough to take. I seen Josh Hamilton when he first came up. He was with Cincinnati. I was in Sarasota down at their training camp, and I thought I discovered electricity when I seen this guy. And this guy, and he could run faster backwards than any of us can run forward. And this guy had all the talent in the world, and he still fell off the wagon.
You know, I think the two Joshes, I think you can put those two guys together, then it's a tremendous analog right there.
And my fear is this, is that, you know, you're not going to get well during the NFL football season. I think this is a long-term treatment thing.
Right. I think
he might have
been
better off in his personal life, I hate to say this, if he did not come back at all.
Right, and Andy, I know it's difficult for Patriot fans to reconcile that, and you know, I'm not criticizing Larry. If you're a Patriot fan, of course you're delighted because you look at that wide receiving core and you say,
"Well, that's just being honest about it."
You know, we don't really care about these players. Let's face it, we really don't as people. We care about them as commodities.
Well, we want them to get through the year.
If you really care truly, if you could take a step back, forget about your partisan view. If you really felt that Josh Gordon was going to heal himself, the only way to do that is to work outside of football.
And you know, there are other guys, there are other people who can speak to this better than I can, but there are triggers out there that lead these guys on or astray or off the wagon, if you will.
Well, that's a teaspoon of society, Andy.
True. And then how do you anticipate that? If you're the Patriots, you're very much like the Texas Rangers and the Angels with Hamilton. How do you anticipate that?
You don't.
They had him pretty much blanketed last year, and still there was an issue. So that's where I am.
The thing you have to look at with any of
Andy.
People, if you're not an expert, is like who struck the first match? Like how did it start? You don't just grow up and then decide, hey, I'm going to do this.
This is not a decision. This is not a rational thought-making process here. This is something that happened very early in his life. It was about survival, and now it's just desperate need. And I would be very naive to believe that he has now exercised all those demons. It's all behind him now, and you can just turn the switch on, and he's suddenly going to be cured. I think
I don't want to find an excuse for him. I really don't, because I'm very, sensitive right now to the number of people that are suffering out there because of drugs. But where does it start? You know,
well, we know with him, he's talked about it. It started
childhood.
Probably not a whole lot of parental supervision, being brought up in poverty, having access to all of these drugs, the exposure factor. He became an addict at a very early age, and he's been fighting it ever since. 617-779-7937. 1 hour in the books. One more to go.
By the way, Johnson. Yaz hit three in Detroit.
In Detroit. I should have remembered that. Probably 1967, as a matter of fact.
Maybe.
76 it was. Wow. Later in his career. Yaz was, 37 years old when
victory lap around Fenway. That
1984.
That was classic.
That was terrific. And, of course, that paved the way for Ripken to do it after he broke Gehrig's record with the Orioles several years later. But Yaz, my all-time favorite player, number 8, the captain, Carl Yastrzemski. And every time I saw Yaz,
did save Billy Roar's
That was early in the season, yep. A tremendous catch in left field.
That was a great call.
By Yaz. That was only the third game of the 19. Still find the impossible dream record.
A tremendous catch.
On Fleetwood Records out of Revere, Massachusetts. One of the great sports albums of all time.
Did you ever want to do broadcasting?
617.
I mean calling a game. 7, 7, I meant calling a game, not this. I'm talking about calling a game.
Someday they're going to let me even broadcast.
No,
who knows?
Did you call a game?
I've never called baseball.
Did you call any game?
I have called basketball, and I've called football. Actually, I called a softball game once.
I figured.
That was one of my finest hours.
What did you do it in a closet?
That was it. Thank you, Craig. That was very nice. Don't quit
your
day,
Joe. Call us. We'll call you.
All right. 1 hour to go. Mustard and Johnson, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.